We're going to be in 1 John chapter number 4 this morning as we continue our series, God with Us, looking at Advent. And we're looking at all the aspects of Advent: hope last week, love today, joy and peace, and then of course the Christ candle. Advent means arrival, it means coming. It looks back in celebration of the fact that Jesus came, and it looks forward in anticipation of the fact that Jesus is coming again. So we find ourselves in the present, looking back and looking forward, and it all centers around the arrival of Jesus Christ. And so we're grateful for this season of the year, and thank you for being a part of this service with us this morning. So we're in 1 John chapter number 4, so today's focus is on love. And we're going to read verses 7 through 12. So our custom here at Adventure is to stand, if you're able to, for the opening reading of Scripture. I'll read verses 7 through 12 of 1 John chapter number 4, and then we'll pray and we'll dive in this morning. The Bible says this: "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these moments we have together. I pray your blessing upon the teaching of your word today. Lord, I pray that regardless of what we have walked in with this morning, that whatever burden, anxiety, stress, whatever there might be, Father, sin, Lord, help us to lay it down at the foot of the cross. And for these moments, open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts to what you have for us today. We're grateful for each person that's here. Each one is a gift. And we're grateful for these moments we have together to be in your word, to learn, to be challenged, to be inspired, to be encouraged. Bless this time together, we pray. And at the end of the day, we'll give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thanks, everybody. You may be seated. So as we dive into this message, God with Us Brings Love, we want to talk a little bit about the love story of Mary and Joseph as we get started. And so you may not think of Mary and Joseph in much terms related to a love story, but there really is a lot there to unpack that we're going to go through. When you think about a love story, you may not think of that, but there are many other types of love stories, both in real life and in popular culture, that sometimes we're really familiar with. And so let's start by highlighting some of those. It's been just in recent days that we've spent a lot of time as a nation mourning the death of one of our presidents, President Bush. And much has been said about the love that he had for his wife, Barbara. And fun fact, my first vote as an adult, that dates me, I guess, a little bit, doesn't it? That was my first vote as an adult. And a lot has been said about his love, both for Robin, the daughter who passed away as a child, and then the separation and then the reuniting of George and Barbara in glory. And if you haven't seen the eulogy that George W. Bush gave, it was really beautiful, it was really moving, and I wanted to include a short clip of that this morning. So check out just these few seconds of President Bush's eulogy for his dad. It was a beautiful tribute, and it's well worth taking the time for the 12 minutes, and you could find it online. It was a beautiful eulogy and a beautiful speech by him for his father, remembering the love that was demonstrated for him with his mom and his dad. Lots of other love stories. Are you familiar with this one? Who are these guys? Who? Anthony, it's Liz Taylor, actually, and Richard Burton, but that was close. That was close. Yeah, no, Anthony and Cleopatra, that's one. How about this one? Sorry, I had to go there. Yes, Han Solo and Princess Leia. The next one. How many of you know who that is? Okay, all right, good deal. So I was raised. By a single mom. I was raised by my mom and my grandma, and I lived this journey with my grandmother. General Hospital, man. General Hospital every day in our house. So all during, I'm in school, but during the summertime, it was like, what is going on there? So some of you can attest, okay? How about these two? All right, there's our worship pastor, Jeff, and his wife, Star. Beautiful love story. They just celebrated 25 years of marriage this year, so awesome. Jeff and Star. We love you guys. Oh, sorry, you're here. That's right. You're here at this service. Yeah, God bless you. Yeah, wonderful. How about this love story? Oh, here's a good one. Yeah. So we're getting ready to celebrate 25 years of marriage in just about a week and a half, and so we're super excited about that. And like all marriages, like all love stories, there are ups and downs, there are peaks and valleys, there are bumps in the road, and we certainly have had our share of those. And one of those had to do with when we moved to New York State. So some of you know we were here for several years. We moved to New York. We lived there for 18 months, and then we came back. And I'm finally prepared. It's taken me 8 years. I'm finally prepared to share the real reason why we came back to California. So I've not ever shared this publicly until this weekend. And the reality is, while we were in New York State, we had a bit of a struggle in our love story because my wife is completely obsessed with Mark Finan of KCRA 3 News. He's the weather guy on Channel 3. And for the entire 18 months that we lived in New York, she continued to watch his telecast on her phone. She'd watch the weather reports every single day. And I'm like, okay, this is getting creepy now. Like, what is going on? And so when it came time to move, we had to come back to where KCRA was. So thankfully, we survived that. And all I did was meteorology. That was my science elective in college. So that was it. I got nothing to bring to the table when it comes to that. So let's take that down. That's intimidating. Yeah, there we go. Move on. Okay. So lots of different love stories that we've seen. And so you may not put Mary and Joseph in some of those same categories, but I think what we'll find as we kind of unpack a little bit what was really going on in the time, in the culture, in the context, it really is a fascinating story. So I'm going to turn over to Matthew chapter 1. If you want to do that, you can too. I want to share just a couple of things from Matthew chapter 1 before we come back to 1 John 4. Because one of the things that we're going to find is, I believe, a real genuine love between Mary and Joseph because of what they had to endure, what they had to go through, what they had to persevere through in a time and a culture and a context that was so very different than what we're going through and what we oftentimes romanticize with all that's involved in the celebration of Christmas. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." And what we're going to learn through the course of this is that just how this would have rocked Joseph's world in this time, in this culture, in this context. So a couple quick things about this before we move on. And you want to take some notes, feel free to take some notes with us today. The first thing is some Jewish marriage customs. So one of the things we've got to understand is just how marriage and what the customs were of the time to give us a better understanding of what they would have been enduring during this time. So very different to how we do it today. So, you know, when we're, you know, celebrating our love stories, there's dating, there's courting, there's whatever you're calling it, you know, there's that getting to know each other, you know, and then there's an engagement, and then there's a wedding, and then there's a party, a reception, then there's a honeymoon, there's all these kinds of things that are going on, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. We have the newlyweds right here, so I've got to acknowledge Nathan and Elise Smith here in the service today. And if I'm doing the math right, you've been married for like 21 hours, you know, so 21 hours ago right here. Isn't it amazing to think like, how crazy? Yeah, just so funny. So anyway, great to have you guys in church today. Thank you for coming. So we celebrated them yesterday and had a big party and all the rest. It was super, super fun. And that's typically how we do it. Now, in this day and age, that's not how it was done. Okay, first there was a contract, then there was a consummation, and then there was a celebration. There would be a contract between the families, and the man's family would pay a dowry to the woman's family. There might be gifts involved and things of that nature. And it was at that moment that, for all intents and purposes, they were husband and wife. They were sealed together, but they had not yet consummated the marriage. They had not yet and we're going to keep this PG, okay? I promise. They had not yet consummated the marriage. Then they would enter into the time of kind of what we would consider kind of courting and dating. So they'd spend time together, they'd get to know each other better, families would get together, friends would get together. And then when the time was right, when they felt, you know, all those things had been done, the groom would gather all his friends and all the family, and they would all go to a house, and they would all go into the house, all the family, all the friends, and the bride and groom would consummate the marriage in another room in the house that they're all in. And then there would be the party afterwards. Doesn't that sound romantic? Wow, like, yeah. So you're all invited to the honeymoon, and you can all just stay out in the living room while we're back in the bedroom, and yay, now we can have the party, okay? Okay, that's how it was done in those days. And so when Mary, for all intents and purposes, she is married to Joseph. She is married to, the contract has been sealed, but they've yet to consummate, and there hasn't been any kind of celebration yet. And Mary comes to Joseph. Mary comes out and says, "I'm pregnant. I'm going to have a baby, and I'm carrying the Messiah." And so the next thing we see is the devastation of broken trust. The devastation of broken trust. Imagine what Joseph must have been thinking when confronted with the news that the one to whom he was contracted to, okay, married to, for all intents and purposes, was pregnant. Joseph knows there's only one way to get pregnant, and he knows that he's not involved in what's going on here. And Mary's like, "Yeah, I've been conceived by the Holy Spirit, and I'm having the Messiah." Like, really? Like, what kind of a crazy story is that? Think about how you would have reacted. Put yourself in Joseph's sandals, if you will, and think about how you would have responded to the news that the one to whom you had been pledged, and again, for all intents and purposes, were already married, you just had not consummated or celebrated, is now pregnant. And the devastation of broken trust. Mary goes to Elizabeth. Some have speculated that maybe one of the reasons why Mary went to Elizabeth, who was the mother of John the Baptist, we talked about that story last week, for the 3 months was maybe just, okay, we've got to get Mary out of town. We got to figure out, okay, what are we going to do with this? Like, Mary is pregnant, and she's got this story, and we don't know what we're supposed to do because this is a devastating moment for a husband. And some of us understand that devastation. Adultery and infidelity leaves a huge, big, gaping wound. It is soul, mind, heart, body, spirit. I mean, it crushes. It's just absolutely crushing. And I grew up in a home like that where there was adultery and infidelity. And some of you have experienced that firsthand, and you know the kind of devastation that that brings. And so again, when we bring this kind of really romantic picture of Mary and Joseph and how wonderful it must have been, there was probably a season where it was not so wonderful because he was having to be confronted with the choice of, okay, what am I going to do with this situation? But we see in his response and through his story the genuine love that he has. Let me continue reading it. Her husband Joseph, verse 19, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So he didn't want to make a spectacle of her. He didn't want to bring her before the elders. He didn't want to take all the ramifications, all the repercussions that would have been at his disposal as her husband. He didn't want to do any of that. Why? Because he loved her. He cared for her. And in the midst of all this, while he was considering these things, verse 20, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Okay, our series. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And so Joseph's choice to not put her away, does not divorce her, but does not consummate until after Jesus is born, showing true love both for her, for Mary, and for God, the devotion to God. So at this point, like God like brings him in on what's happening here. And now they can both move forward together in bringing the Christ child into the world. I think an amazingly beautiful love story. So what can we take with us today? How can we understand this true love at Advent? Well, I'm going to look back at the text again. Let me read it one more time. 1 John 4, 7 through 12. The Bible says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Three quick things, and if you want to take some notes in your note sheet, please feel free to do so. Number one, God is love. God is love. Verse number 8, anyone who does not love does not know God because God is love. It is his very nature. Love in its purest form is from God because that is who he is. Love has been there all throughout the story of Scripture, all throughout the narrative of the Bible, and all through human history. We talked about that a little bit last week, the narrative of hope. Love is there as well, all the way from the creation to the ultimate restoration of all that he did. We see it in the fall. We see it in the consequence of the fall. We see it in the covenants made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We see it even throughout all the Old Testament, that cycle of sin that we talked about. The people would sin. And then they would be brought under servitude by another power. And then there would be this time of prayer, like, God, save us from this. And then God would bring that salvation. And then they would come back around once they got kind of comfortable and lax. They'd get back and they'd fall into sin again. The cycle would go over and over and over again. And all through that, God continues to reach out for his people because he desires to have a relationship with his people. He desires to have that connection with his people. And it's a demonstration of his love for us all. The test of any love story is this. Is this love strong enough or deep enough or true enough to handle X, Y, or Z? Whatever it is, just fill in the blank. Is the love that we have, is it strong enough? Is it true enough? Is it powerful enough to endure, to withstand whatever might come our way? From the trivial, to the annoying, to the catastrophic, to the potentially crushing. And we think about this in our relationships, with one another, spouses, parents, children, whatever it might be. From the trivial, change the toilet paper roll. That's not anything earth-shattering, but, it's something that can, cause a little bit of friction. Just do that. Trivial thing, but it's important. We make it through that. Our love is strong enough for that. To the annoying, maybe you got a snore in your house or something like that, or a sleepwalking child or whatever it might be, or a dog, that needs to go out in the middle of the night. It's like, man, that's just annoying. But the love is strong enough and true enough and powerful enough. To the catastrophic, maybe it's a diagnosis. Maybe it's an illness. It's something along those lines. It just absolutely is so incredibly impactful, and yet the love is able to withstand even that. To even the potentially crushing, like an adultery or an infidelity or something along those lines that some of us know the reality of the scars in which that brings, and yet somehow even in the midst of that, love can endure. Love can get through those episodes. And we bring that into our relationship with God, and we think about how his love is strong enough and true enough and deep enough to handle those things, from the trivial to the annoying to the catastrophic to the potentially crushing. I was thinking in terms of that last one, because that's a big one, in our personal, our human relationships, adultery, infidelity. Huge thing to get, not over, but to get through. As people that love each other, and thinking about how that interacts with our relationship with God, the truth is, there's a word for that with our relationship with God. It's called idolatry. It's anything that we put in front of God. Anything that we put in front of our relationship with God is idolatry. And the Bible says he loves us through those things. Isn't that amazing? He loves us through all of those things. So his love is strong enough, deep enough, true enough to handle whatever comes our way. We're familiar with Romans chapter 8. I encourage you maybe jot that down later. Let me just give you the last two verses. They're so powerful. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Nothing. There's nothing. I'm so glad it's not dependent upon me. Because if it was dependent upon me, I would fall and fail and falter all the time. But he keeps me secure, and we are blessed by his love. So, number one, God is love. Number two, God gives love. Verse number 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. He demonstrated this love. He gave something. He didn't just say the words. He didn't just mean it in his heart. He didn't just feel it. He didn't just know it. He did something about it. He gives this love. And in this context, he gives it in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. It's not just talk. It's action. He gave his love. That's what we learn about love this Advent season. We're all familiar with this because it's gift-giving season, right? We've got gifts under the tree, and we're giving gifts to folks. And why do we do that? Because it's an expression of our love. It's an expression of our care. It's an expression of how much we appreciate someone. And so it's an action. It's a gift. It's an expression of our love for them. And there are also all sorts of great, fun things that we do around this time of year. So we had our staff party, staff Christmas party, a week ago tonight. It was a week ago. It was last Sunday night. And afterwards, we went over to the Noonses. Thank you guys for hosting us. They're here somewhere. Where are you guys at? We appreciated their hosting us and being so hospitable to having us in their home. And we did the white elephant gift exchange, you know, where you take the numbers and you get to steal the gifts. And it's a very Christian game, you know. And it brings all sorts of, like, staff harmony and unity, you know. Like, I'm going to take that. And it's like all the staff by the end of the night. So I ended up with, and I meant to bring it and I forgot. It's on my counter at home. For the white elephant gift exchange, I won a white elephant. That was my gift. I walked out with a white elephant. And Tracy says, that would be really good in your office. It's not coming in the house. I said, okay, great. So it's going to be in my office sometime. So if you come by, come take a look at it. There are lots of fun gifts. There are some awkward gifts. There are awkward gifts that we receive from time to time. I remember, as I mentioned, Tracy and I, our wedding anniversary is coming up here soon. And so we left for our honeymoon, and we actually came back from our honeymoon on Christmas Day. And so on Christmas Day is when we opened up all of our wedding gifts. So it was kind of a fun, you know, like we had all our wedding gifts, and that was kind of our Christmas that year. And one of the gifts we opened up, it was really, really cool. It was this nice, you know, item for our kitchen. And inside the box, there was the card from the person who had gifted it to them the first time. So just a reminder, if you're going to re-gift something, make sure they don't know about it, okay? So we sent a thank you to both people, you know, like, thank you for the gift you sent them, which then they gave to us. You know, that was really awesome of you to do. So there are all sorts of, like, really weird gifts, you know, that people give and receive. But why do we do these things? We do them because it's an expression of our love. It's a demonstration of our love. The Bible says, in this was manifest. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us that God sent his only son. We read it this way in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God gave his son. And that's something that we celebrate even this Christmas time. This next slide says that from the manger to the cross, we've always got to be mindful. We've always got to be cognizant of the fact that during this season of the year, we've got nativity scenes everywhere, and the Christ child, and the manger, and Bethlehem, and the shepherds, and the angels, and all the rest, that little baby grew up to be the man who would die on the cross for our sins, who would take sin's penalty upon himself, who would take my shame, and my guilt, and my penalty, and my hell, and all that is related, and he would take that upon himself, die upon the cross, so that my relationship with God could be made right. Because the Bible teaches, and I know it in my heart, that I was born into this world as a sinner, separated from God. And he is holy, he is righteous, and I am not. And there's nothing I can do that's good enough to get myself back in good with God. Because I can never make myself perfect and holy and righteous. So Jesus had to come. God had to send his only son to die on the cross, to do for me what I could not do for myself. And I came to that realization that I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus was that Savior, and I called upon the name of the Lord and was saved and was brought into the family of God. And that is the beautiful, simple gospel message. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you've never taken that for yourself, I encourage you to do it even before you leave this building this morning. It's not about the church you go to, it's not about your baptism, it's not about what family you were raised in, it's what have you personally done with Jesus. Have you accepted him? Have you received him? Have you taken that sacrifice and said, yes, I believe that, I'm following Jesus? I hope that you will, because that is at the heart of the Christmas message, because God just is not love in a bubble. God gives love, and he shows that love through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. And lastly, number three, God's love then flows through us. Verse number 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I love all through the Bible we see these kind of if-then, or since this is happening, then this needs to be the result. Since we have been loved, we need to then love other people. And you've got later on in verse number 12, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. That word perfected really means completed. It's completed. It means God's love for you is not complete until you pass it on to somebody else. And one of the things we say is that we're not a container for God's love. We're not a container for God's blessing. We're a conduit for God's love. We're a conduit for God's blessing. So God gives us his love, and then we pass it on to other people. We pass it on to other people. We pass it on to our spouse. We pass it on to our children. We pass it on to our parents. We pass it on to our coworkers. We pass it on to our teachers and our classmates. We pass it on to our neighbors. We pass it on to our friends. We pass it on to our enemies. We pass it on to the people that we agree with. We pass it on to the people that we don't agree with. We let God's love flow through us. People don't see God, it says right here. No one has ever seen God, but they see us. And how are we doing? How are we doing in being that conduit for the love of God? Are we just holding it all? Are we containing it all? Are we like this big sponge, you know, that's just taking, 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 and being blessed in the process? It's not complete until it's passed on to somebody else. We've heard this before, that we may be the only Jesus someone sees. We may be the only Bible that someone else reads. Our lives are full of people, and they can't see God. They don't know God, but they know you. They know what kind of neighbor you are. They know what kind of employee you are. They know what kind of son, daughter, husband, wife, mother, father. They know what kind of driver you are. Oh, preacher, you're meddling now. Stay out of my car, preacher. They can see those things. That's why I put a big magnet on my car that says Adventure Church on it. Just totally keeps me honest, you know? Oh, the Adventure Church guy. Do they see that? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, this is how people will know if you have a big church. This is how people would know if you're doctrinally sound. This is how people would know if you're right on all the issues. What did Jesus say? This is how people would know that you're my disciples, that you're my followers, if you have what? Love for one another. So are we letting God's love flow through us to other people? Say, Pastor Greg, that's hard. Yep, it sure is. But that's the life we're called to as a follower of Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you to give it. And I also want to encourage you, you know, preparing for this weekend, I was just really mindful of sometimes we give, but sometimes we have a hard time receiving love, pride, whatever it is, whatever it is that's kind of the barrier. And I want to encourage you this season, all time, to let other people, because God is going to let his love flow to them, to you, and receive that love from people. Don't rob people of the blessing of wanting to bless you and love your family and love your kids and your circumstance. One of my favorite stories, it's a classic, you've heard it before probably, about the guy who had the flood coming. And the flood was coming and he's praying, oh God, save me from the flood that's coming. Please protect me. Please get me out of this. And a truck comes rolling by and says, hey buddy, the flood is coming. Get in the truck. Let's get out of here. And he's like, no, I've been praying to God. He's going to save me. Don't worry. Go on ahead. And then the waters begin to rise, and a boat, you know, comes by, and is like, hey, buddy, you know, come on, get in the boat. Let me save you from the flood that's here now. He's like, no, it's all good. I've been praying to God. He's going to save me. And then it gets to the point where he has to get on the roof of his house, and a helicopter swoops in, and they're like on the bullhorn, like, hey, buddy, like, we'll lower down a rope. You know, let's get you out of here because the flood is here. He's like, no, it's all good. I've been praying to God, and he's going to save me from this. And then he dies in the flood. And he stands before God, and he's like, God, like, I prayed for you to save me. And God's like, what did I do? I sent you a truck. I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. Like, I gave you every opportunity to be saved because that was his means. That was his method. And the way that God loves other people is through other people. So give that. Be that conduit of God's love to others. And let others love you. Receive that love as well. So this weekend we celebrate love. Who is love? It's God. Where does it come from? It comes from God. What do we do with it? We give it away. Give it away. Give it away to somebody this week. Give it away to somebody, maybe even before you get out to your car. Give it away to somebody. Don't become a bottleneck for God's love. Let it flow through you to other people in your life. So as I mentioned earlier, we've had a good week. It's been a busy week for sure, but it was really good this week to have Derek from Building God's Way, and he was here a couple of days, and he spent better part of an afternoon with me, just going through some just financial stuff and stuff about the church. Then he spent about a half a day with Tiffany, our financial secretary, going through some financial stuff, and they're just doing some analysis work for us and that. And I love the opportunity. There are a couple things that I really love about those kinds of conversations. The first one is I love just sharing the story. So he's like, hey, just tell me the story. Tell me the story of Adventure Church. And I love telling the story of Adventure Church because it is so clearly a God something. It's not anything any one of us could have figured out or done on our own. It's God's fingerprints are all over this place. So I love sharing that story. The second thing is I just really love getting the really true outsider perspective on what's happening here because, like, we're in it. We're in the bubble. We're in, we're in what's going on. And so sometimes that limits our ability to really see what's happening because we don't have the kind of filter that someone who's outside, might be able to see. And so really fascinated by those kinds of conversations. But part of our conversation as we went through that, who was really complimentary and really encouraging and really appreciated, his candor on a lot of different issues and areas of the church. And then it came to this question, and I'm just going to be like completely vulnerable with you right now because, I wasn't really sure what to say. Okay, and I'm going to bring you in on, this kind of inside. And that was, he asked this question, so tell me, what is your strategy? What's your strategy for the next 12 months? What's your strategy for the next 24 months? What's your strategy for the next, 5 years? And I was like, I don't know how to answer that question. I just don't know how to answer that question. Because we don't have, this really kind of, slick idea of, what is going on here. And finally, in a moment of just true, vulnerability, I just said, here's our strategy. Love God, love people, make disciples. That's it. That's all we got. That's all we got. And you know what, guys? That's all we need as a church. That's all we need. And that's not to put down those that have these great, strategies. But for us, the reality is, I don't know what God's doing. God's doing this crazy thing in our midst. And we're going to continue to love him. We're going to continue to love people. We're going to continue to love our community. We're going to continue to love our neighbors. We're going to continue to love people that agree with us and don't agree with us. We're going to continue to love, 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 because that is what we're supposed to do. And that is our strategy. Love God, love people, make disciples. I love this quote. I've shared it before from Billy Graham. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, and my job to love. That's your job, folks. Don't worry about God's job. Don't worry about the Holy Spirit's job. Doesn't mean we don't stand for truth. We do that. Doesn't mean we don't hold people accountable in the context of a loving community. But ultimately, it all boils down to my job is to love people. And that's your job. And that's one of the lessons from Advent as we consider God's great gift to us. That's what we celebrate, what we've been given, and also what we share. Let me share this as a closing benediction. This verse is in your bulletin as well, so take that home and maybe cut it out or put this someplace because I think it's really, really powerful. Let me share it as a benediction for us today. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. All God's people said, amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these moments we've had together. We ask your blessing as we move forward into, continue into this Advent season. Thank you for the hope that we have because of your word and your character and your faithfulness. Thank you for being love. Thank you for giving love. Thank you for the opportunity to let that love flow through us on a daily basis, and I pray, Father, even right now, as people are coming to mind, families are coming to mind, opportunities are coming to mind by which your love can be directed toward others. I pray, Father, that you would give us the courage and the wherewithal to follow your lead in that way. So bless each and everyone who's here today. I pray that you would encourage us as we leave. Lord, help us as a church to always be mindful of our mission, of our calling, to love you, to love others, to make disciples. May that just drive us at all times. Thank you for the time together this morning. And Father, if there's anyone here today that does not know Jesus as Savior, they've yet to come enter into that relationship with you through the finished work of Christ, I pray that even now they would call upon you. They would know what it means to be a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus is that only Savior. Bless them, help them, welcome them into your family today. Dismiss us with your blessing. Thank you for the opportunity this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.